and to episode 52 of Keithan's Craft Collective. I'm Louise. This episode we have a new resident, or designer, Ali. The blether is erudite, update on the damson shawl knit along and the fabric postcards. I've got the competition winner for the Roof Crafts shawl patterns with Artist's Palettes yarn. I'll let you know what the collective and the Me show have been up to. And then the drams this episode, it's quite a long one, it's a 12-year-old single malt plain firth. All the links are in the show notes that come from where you download this from, so relax, get your links later on. I'm sponsoring this for my own business, Energy Hunt Limited, www.energyhunt.com, which is nothing whatsoever to do with craft, but everything to do with Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. And as it pays my wage, therefore your podcast. I can see it. So get your cup of tea, your craft, and I'll let you know what the craft guys think as I speak.
Designer Ali.
Designer Ali. I'd like to welcome in to number 3, Designer Ali, Robin Ulrich of Robin Ulrich fame. I'm delighted she said yes to answering my questions and setting up her shop in my imaginary alley of much style and finesse. I have to admit to finding the lovely Robin through Twitter. She started listening to me and then one day I was probably stalking her and the penny dropped. And this was the Robin Ulrich. I will admit to doing this a bit. I start talking to people on Twitter and I don't realise that they are a someone. And then, do I admit it? Mostly not. I did this time. Robin's messages are just lovely, and I can only assume that if you know her in real life, you're very lucky. She was really kind in her answers, so now I'll get on with it. Question 1. I think you have got lovely taste. Well, I do. I know it's the same question as last time, but I do. I think all my designers have got lovely taste. Can you tell me where, who, and what do you get your inspiration from? She says, thank you so much for the compliment. I very much appreciate and enjoy that people like different things, but I especially love it when someone likes what I like. Inspiration is a fun part of designing for me. Sometimes a completely random idea will just form in my imagination, other times something from my surroundings prompts it. For instance, my Fontana shawl pattern was designed after a visit to a beautiful conservatory garden full of fountains. I put a lot of thought into choosing yarn and stitches that, to my way of thinking at least, reference the streams, spray and a delicate mist of a fountain. My most recent online pattern release, Frostlight, was my interpretation of beautiful lines of sunlit frost along a railing I encountered during one sunrise this winter. I combined my ideas with my desire to provide a simple pattern for beginning lace knitters. I'm also strongly inspired by colour and texture. I enjoy art, animals, growing things and even food, like the bosque pears that prompted thoughts that led to my bosque scarf and hat designs. I've got the bosque hat. I really like to do my own thing, but try to stay within the bounds of what I think knitters might like. If I were just knitting my own personal stuff, some of it would probably be a bit wild for many folks. Question 2. What made you design in the first place? She says, I'm artsy through and through, and daydream constantly of things I'd love to make. I've dabbled in a wide variety of arts and I've designed for most of my adult life, including a while working in a florist shop and a dance and costuming work. Oh, wouldn't that be lovely? My background in design and sewing give me an excellent foundation for understanding how a garment is constructed, and my dance background gives me an appreciation for how a garment needs to fit and work with a moving human body. I'm getting a theme here, because Ruth Crafts was a bit of a garment designer, wasn't she? Oh, I'm doomed. Creating things is a part of who I am. As much as that I have brown hair, it was a natural progression for me to apply that to my love of knitting. I started designing my own knit stuff, beginning with the first thing I ever knit, a blue and white Fair Isle pattern scarf when I was a teenager. Now, I've read this before, but I've just realised what she actually said. Fair Isle pattern scarf for a first thing she knit. Right, she does explain it here, but Fair Isle pattern scarf. A family friend spent an afternoon showing me the basic knit and purl stitches. Fair enough. She gave me a set of plastic circular needles and 2 skeins of Red Heart yarn. Oh, stop you acrylic people at the back. She never mentioned pesky details like patterns or that stranded knitting might not be a good beginner project. She was a very free spirit and she just let me go at it. And my scarf turned out pretty good, even considering that I was purling in mid-colour. I regret I don't have that first project and that I only knit occasionally until it becomes serious later on in life. Well, she's obviously got the gift. Fair help, my pattern scarf. My professional design adventure started when people would comment on the things I was wearing, asking me where I got the pattern. I began with print local yarn shop patterns, then with Ravelry began offering pattern downloads, I converted to self-publishing online and through my blog. Now I occasionally also submit designs for publication in magazines and other outlets. Question 3. Can you describe the process that you go through from idea to finished garment? I was wondering if she used a sketchbook or colour wheels kind of idea. She said, it's not always the same process for every project. I do employ a few things on a regular basis. I have several sketchbooks and carry one in my purse and my knitting bag at all times. But I've also done sketches on paper napkins at the coffee shop, including one of my best-selling patterns, Sothea. My art classes put me in good stead working on a colour wheel and watercolour painting and blending crayons. In general, I usually go with my instincts. I tend to see colours and combinations very clearly in my mind's eye, and I also love to take different skeins from my stash and place them together to see what I like. Generally, I mull over my ideas for days, picturing various details in my mind. I do a lot of thinking about designs on my daily runs. Aha! Knew she was cool. Once I've narrowed things down to a few realistic ideas, I sketch them out, adding or taking away details as I change my mind, usually with 3 or 4 variations side by side for comparison. Next, I do a gauge swatch in the selected yarns, then write up a rough draft pattern and knit it through, making notes and changes as I go. After updating and perfecting as much as I can, I send it out to testers or editors, and then I like to knit at least a second project from the updated pattern, and now and then a third, just to prove myself that it works as well as I hoped. Wow, so obviously she's very artistic. She does use a sketchbook. Yay, I like that. What's the hardest part of the design process for you? She says, the hardest part of designing for me is limiting the number of ideas bouncing around in my head. When I get inspired, I have a million ideas and concepts competing to be included, and the toughest part is narrowing them down to just the select few that make it into the pattern. I want to make everything. There are so many techniques I still want to work on, and there just isn't enough time to try all my ideas out. Sigh. I use that sigh quite a lot because it's very expressive. Question 5. What's the best bit of the design process for you? The very best part is seeing a photo of a finished project a knitter has made from a pattern that started out as an idea in my head. It completely blows my mind that I can imagine an idea, write up directions, and a person in Rio de Janeiro or Caithness, Scotland, me, can download my pattern and make the same thing. What a small world it has become indeed. I think that's a good answer. Question 6. Does the yarn come first, or does the pattern come first and then find the yarn to suit? She says, for some projects, I have a strong impression of an item's shape or a particular detail that spurs thoughts of the rest of the design. Other times, I see a lovely yarn and I know just what I would make to feature its best qualities. I think a helpful part of designing is understanding yarn qualities and construction and what makes any yarn appropriate or difficult for a particular type of knit. Learning to spin helped me with this as I did extensive reading, including Clara Park's fabulous books like The Knitter's Book of Yarn. Yes, apparently that's a very good book. And so much of it is just plain trial and error. The learning curve thing is also tough for me to be patient with. I think that's my problem. I'm not patient enough with that kind of thing. Question 7. Now this was a different question than the one previously thought because, yeah, we'll find out. Do you mind when knitters ask you for your advice on patterns, i.e. changing the yarn weight? Because I have the Bosque hat pattern and I don't have the right weight, so I asked if it would be able to use Aran. So this is why they asked this question. She said, I am at heart a teacher and I love to help people learn. I wish I could personally work with every knitter making my patterns that wanted instruction. Trying to decipher someone's written description is tough sometimes, although I am game to give it a go, but the nature of the internet, the large amount of knitters out there, makes it difficult to be able to help everyone I like to. I'm a big believer in the local yarn store and the excellent quality of yarn and level of instruction offered most places. Although I might be able to help someone online, the best thing they can do is go to their local yarn shop to purchase their yarn, take a session in a technique that might be new to them, and bring their work in progress to the store for assistance. I've also begun to record a series of videos specifically detailing techniques found in my patterns to hopefully help with this. You have recently put up a couple of videos onto YouTube for the reverse yarn over to help with the pattern Frostlight. I think this is a brilliant idea. Selfishly. And now I want all my designers to do this. If you're listening, please do that. How did you think to do this, and will you be doing it for other patterns? I.e., is it a new thing I've just not seen? She says, I am so happy that you found my videos helpful. Although I've not personally seen any patterns with embedded video links, they may already exist. I think knitting is definitely something that benefits from video instruction, and I've wanted to make them for a long time. I'm a rather quiet person, and it was a tough decision to put myself out there.
Thank you.
But as I mentioned earlier, I am at heart a teacher, and I want very much to help knitters have a fun time knitting my patterns and end up with a project that they love. The videos were much more difficult and time-consuming than I thought they'd be, but worth the effort, I think, if they help even a few people. My kind and patient husband, who directed and shot the videos, is already at work on a better camera angle and other technical improvements, so hopefully next ones will be even better. Well, I had a look and I can thoroughly recommend these because when you're doing the technical part of the knitting, the hobby, who's very cool, zooms in on this. He does it very well, so I was quite impressed with the production levels on it as well. So it was nice to see and hear, well, it was actually more nice to hear her, because you don't see her face, but yeah. We do like to put a picture, a name to a face, don't we? So don't be shy. Just carry on, because it was really good. Question 9, and I must stop whispering. What are your designer plans for the future? She says, I'm currently knitting away on new designs, including some garments, and I have a few patterns that will be released in print this year. Yahoo! One of those will be making an appearance in a popular magazine very soon, and I'll post about it on my blog and probably Twitter too. I have not submitted very much material, mostly because I like to take my time with my designs, doing the graphics and copy, shooting the photos myself, etc. These things are very much part of a creative process for me and a lot of fun, and I don't get to do that with magazine patterns. Although I've definitely enjoyed working with some terrific people in the publishing industry. I admire designers who put their heart and soul and a year or more of their lives into writing a book. But even I love to write, it's not something that I've dreamed of doing. However, that being said, I never say never, and I do have exciting plans for a big project I've recently begun working on. Hopefully for release in the next year or so, we'll see. ... Ooh. Question 10. Please describe your shop and designer Ali. She says, oh, my very own fibre shop. It would be modern, bright and cosy at the same time, with lovely yarn and spinning fibre from interesting places in the world, as well as lots of locally produced material. And I'd love to stock it full of artist-made tools, buttons, beads and accessories. I'd have patterns from a variety of designers, although nowadays I think I'd promote the Ravelry in-store pattern sales programme. It seems to work pretty well with my patterns. The space would have been, it says sky's the limit on budget, right? Of course it is. Large skylights to flood the shop with natural light. Perhaps flowing water like a fountain to create a peaceful atmosphere. A comfortable sitting area and large work tables. Tea and coffee would be nice. Regular sit and stitch sessions, workshops and social gatherings would take place. Loads of classes for my favourite teachers would be offered. That sounds very nice, doesn't it? Now, question 11. And finally, the contact details for the listeners so they can get you and bye. She says, I'd love for your listeners to visit my blog, which is robinulrich.blogspot.com. I'll spell that. robinulrich.blogspot.com. I think you can spell that by now. Where they can just stop in for a visit, say hello, or purchase my patterns. I suggest you do that bit. They can also purchase them on my designer page on Ravelry, and they can feel free to friend me on Ravelry if they want to. My username is TrueKnit, which is TrueKnit. So that's our interview. Thank you very much, Robin, for doing this. Both you and Ruth from last week were very kind and generous in your answers, and also Robin would like to offer a surprise. Yay, another competition for you lovely listeners. I'm a proper podcaster now, eh? If you send me a message, as in you listeners, either by email or Ravelry or a direct message on Twitter, asking to win the three patterns by Robin. And she's offering us the Bosque scarf, the Catrail, and the Licia loop as the prize, which I think you'll have to admit is some prize. You have until the 31st of March for this, which is a week shorter than normal, and I will announce the winner on Ravelry and send you a message. But if you can't wait for then, Robin has very kindly offered us all a 20% off code until the 31st of March 2012. Well, I know what I'm going to buy. Then, when you go to her checkout, type in Caithness March 12. Of course, you all know how to spell Caithness, but I will spell it for you. C-A-I-T-H-N-E-S-S, March as in the month, and 1-2, the number. Go on, enter. Well, it's a wee message for three lovely patterns and 20% off is wonderful, especially in this economic times. I did say to my designers, now don't feel like you have to do this because I completely understand how economical times are just now, but they very both generously offered these up for you. So I think the least we can do is go and befriend her on Twitter and Ravelry. That's the very least we can do. And support our designers. Thank you so much to Robin and Ruth for being number two and number three of Designer Alley. I have two further designers lined up, but I think I'm going to leave it for a couple of episodes so you can catch up with Ruth and Robin's patterns so that they both shine in their own light and then we won't get overloaded. I hope that suits my two designers who I've approached. I just want you to shine in your own light at that time. So we sort of finish with the Electa and Allegra shawl patterns, and if we're doing any Robin Ulrich patterns as well, and then we can make sure that the patterns that we're going to do for you are timely. So thank you. Away and sit in for a blather.
Now for the blather.
Erudite. Ah, that's posh for me, you may think. Well, that's because it's no my word. I had to look it up. Husband knew what it was and even know how to pronounce it. Now, you listeners whom have sensitive ears will probably be able to hear that I have a new microphone. Remember last episode when I said I was washing a Jacob fleece with Daisy? Breadcrumbs, plot, plot, plot. Well, this was in part swap payment for this here microphone. This here microphone has its own knitted hat. I am now erudite about this microphone. Well, I'd actually like to be, but I actually don't think I am quite yet. I have read the book. The definition of erudite is adjective, having or showing great knowledge or learning. I was sent a message from one of my favourite podcasters, whom has stopped broadcasting and does not require this here microphone anymore. And she asked if I would like to give her Yeti microphone a new home. Well, Susan Dolph, how can I refuse you anything? So we bartered. Well, really, one message of, what would you like for it? Followed by, some fibre please, was it. There was no bartering over the last penny with us. And thus the cleaning commenced of the fleece, not the microphone. And it came up really lovely too. I've been trying to clean a white fleece this week, and I say trying, the ends are not cleaning very well, and I try not to strip the grease out of it for spinning it. And the Jacob was much easier to do. It was more brown than white, and it was washed, dried, stuffed into two post office approved bags, labelled very, very carefully, and taken to the post office. It is there now, and I am told it has been opened and sat in and sniffed. And apparently it does smell quite nice. And even Doug mentioned, oh, is that the one from Scotland? So get him. Hello, Doug, if you're listening. We love you. We do miss you, Susan, but we'd like to hear how you're doing. Well, where were we? It is there now, and the next package is going on payday. Susan has lovely writing in her note, and it does not surprise me in the slightest. Anyway, when the message came over first, I read it as, I have a Chewbacca microphone. Would you like it? And then I realised, no, it's a Yeti, which isn't actually all that far away from Chewbacca, except, well, he's a character in Star Wars, and Yetis are unproven heavily in Ape-Man, also going by the name of Abominable Snowman, Bigfoot, and the Hendersons. It led me then to wonder if you could spin Chewbacca's fur for a coat for Han Solo, but I digress. Note the Chewbacca theme in this episode. Susan has instructed me in all things erudite about the microphone. I dutifully read the instructions and I have it on the correct setting for podcasting. In the dram section, Fair, it's maybe not. But for the next episode, I will have it on the correct setting. And then Susan suggested that erudite would make a wonderful subject for a podcaster. Now, you know and I know that she would have made a wonderful job of it. Oh, well, I picked the gauntlet up anyway. You know what I'm like. I then got to thinking, what was it that I knew everything there was to know about what subject? I would like to be erudite in all things crafting, but I fear it's like gardening. There is such a lot more to learn that even the most learned of crafters still have gaps in their knowledge. There are so many different techniques of each craft and new ideas coming out all the time, it would be quite difficult to keep up or even ahead of the game. Every day's a school day and it's good to have gaps in your knowledge, so that you can learn more every time you pick up your paintbrush or needles. Our minds are ever advancing, our thoughts are ever thinking. More. What more is there to learn? I asked Sandy what it was that he knew the most about, and he said Star Wars. Well, that's quite good for a six-year-old boy, albeit his mother would quite like if he knew everything about counting and the alphabet. But I think that there is more to learn for that Padawan. Daisy knows most about Snow White. She knows the dwarves by name and what animals Snow White gets her to help with the dishes. What more is there to know about Snow White, I ask. Husband knows lots about renewable energy. The next episode, I will tell you more about the wind turbine in my garden, as been requested from the suggestions in the Blethers thread on Ravelry. Me? I know a lot about craft. I know a fair bit about podcasting. I know lots about administration and parenting and chicken pox. But do you know what I think I know the most about in the whole world? The Disney Pixar films Cars. Not Cars 2, Cars 1. I don't think that it's a really good thing that I know most of the characters' names, even the ones that appear in the flashback sequence that don't have words. I know that the clouds are shaped like car radiators. I have spent a lot of time watching this film, playing with the die-cast cars. Here I know my Doc Hudson's from my Ramon. I don't think I will ever achieve this in knitting, or spinning, or quilting, but I hope I have a long life ahead of me to find out so I can be erudite about craft. I would like to know what you are erudite about, especially the crafting, and even if you can say it correctly, because I'm not sure if I have. Now, if you need a pee stop, it's time for the Daisy laugh. A chicken poxy Daisy laugh. Can you do some giggling?
Yeah.
Hello, section.
Hello.
Hello, Sandy. A big Sandy hello to new to me, been with me a wee willy listeners, and been with me forever listeners. I appreciate you tuning in. Thank you. And now a Sandy hello to the new group members.
Hello.
Knights 21701, Sheila O'Keefe, Curly Red 52, and a Twisted Yarn, who says that she's been listening from the beginning.
Hello.
Well done, her. I sent her a reply message. Thanks for joining, and if you've lurked, thank you for non-lurking. I love your messages and you love your projects. Please, everyone, carry on putting up their projects. I do like seeing what you're all up to, because I'm nosy that way. The stalking continues. The blathering going on is fine. The dams and ones been very interesting. I don't always reply to them because I feel like it would just be the me show in there too. And I do read them all. So thank you for the iTunes reviews. More would be nice, please. I read them. Feel the need to remember your password on iTunes. Leave a review. I will be a very happy podcaster because then it brings it up to other people who are looking in iTunes for crafting things. My picture disappeared there the other day, so I must go and look and see if it's gone back up. Nerd about that because it made me look naked. I take great care in looking good in my iTunes. The random hellos are to
Hello
Mad Mum, Acanthus, MT Mickey, Jackie K, and Mysterious Yarns. That always actually reminds me of Mysterious Wheeze, which I think is a U2 song. You know, I find the random hellos the most difficult bit to choose. I hate missing people out, and I love to give out hellos because I like hearing my name on other people's podcasts. And I've actually been known to answer back when they said it, and once I looked behind me and was like, how does she know that I'm doing that? That's a bit spooky. So, I will carry on doing these because I like doing them. but I do find it so difficult not to put you all in, and there's too many of you to do that now. Right, what's a crack?
What's the e-crack section?
I very much enjoy going south of York to Glasgow. I was up at 5 a.m. The alarm went off, I jumped out of bed and stood there looking like a person jumping out of bed at 5 a.m. after not a great night's sleep. However, got into the shower, got out of the shower, packed a few more things and jumped into the car. Picked up my mother at 6:02 in Wick, just after the sun had come out, and we headed south down the E9. And it was lovely and quiet, heading south. We had a good play there and then inserted disc one of our chosen entertainment for the journey. Mum got out the library an audiobook of The Terrible Privacy of Maxwell Sim by Jonathan Coe. I would never have chosen this book, but I really got into it, and although sometimes it went on a bit, I quite enjoyed it. I think it's more of a British book, so I think unless you've spent time in Britain, you probably wouldn't get all the ins and outs and jokes and the geography of it either. You have to read it to the very last line, so read it to the very last line, and I'm not going to spoil it for you. But you have to read it to the very last line, so I've spoiled it that you have to read it to the very last line. It kept us company, though. Can you mind last week? I was telling you about my textile artist friend Celia, who got inspired from her train journey north through Brora and Helmsdale. Well, just south of Brora, when we were on the road south, the skies darkened, and as we rounded the point at Carnleith, it started to rain, and we saw the most beautiful double, even triple rainbow over Dunrobin Castle. Mum tried to take a photo of it, but I fear it didn't come out. We made it down to Paisley in time for the car service, and we checked into the hotel, and then we wandered up Argyle Street to the shops. On the Saturday, we were up bright and early, and at the SECC, which is the Scottish Exhibition Conference Centre in Glasgow, for 9:20, and we were there in the queue for the textile hall opening at 9:30. Also on at the SECC that day was the SNP conference, which is the Scottish National Party. Guess who was there? Yeah, my old pal Alex Salmond. Well, we didn't actually see each other this time. He might have seen me, but I didn't see him. You'd have to listen to his podcast. But I did see Nicola Sturgeon walking about twice. She was in a rather fetching purple suit. And she was then spotted in the textile hall buying some knitting needles. So there you go. Our health secretary knows the power of the knit. I did think it was funny though. It was like the crowds were in two tribes. The SNP delegates were in their yellow lanyards, mostly suits, mostly tweed. And then there was the crafters, mostly women. And I would say the majority of the age range was about above 40 or thereabouts. The SNP were scoffing at the crafters. The crafters, well, we don't need to scoff. We know we'd take them in a fight. Pointy sticks, Sizzix machines at the ready. Have you seen Madagascar where the little old lady batters the lion with her handbag? Well, that would be the case there. Only we'd do it with just a look. And, all right, son, you're not getting your dinner tonight. I'm not cooking it. Anyway, Creative Stitches and Hobbycraft Craft Fair is split into two halls. The Hobbycraft is in the smaller hall, and it hosts mainly the papercraft supplies. The Creative Stitches is in the bigger hall, and it held a lovely amount of knitting, which much improved. There was textiles and fibre goodness. And I'm pleased to report that there were more stands dedicated to the knitting, with www.addictedtoknit.co.uk and the new Lanark Mill there amongst others. I did think of Hoxton Handmade when I saw the new Lanark. I know other people knit with that, but it's just Hoxton, new Lanark go together. I have a photo of what I bought on the Flickr page and laid it out, and ooh, it's got a lot. And remember, my car was in the garage. I had to go and pick it up at 12 noon. The hall opened at 9:30 a.m. I worked out that I had 2 hours to go around, buy, and then get to the pre-booked taxi for 11:30, so I could get back to Paisley for 12. So I stomped up and down the Creative Stitches Hall to see who was where. I'd done a wee bit of reconnaissance beforehand on the website, and reconnaissance is seldom wasted. And oh, there was so much to see in so little time. There was textile artists giving lectures, there were spindlers giving demonstrations, missed all that. Whizzed about, lost mum a few times, found out what I had on my list. I found the Colour Craft stand, who specialise in all things textile art. I spent such amount of money there, and I think it was only 9:36. I bought material to make the dress and jacket from the Sew magazine and the oddments to go with it from a really lovely material and very well priced stand. I bought 2 sizes of knit pro needles that I didn't have. I got lovely chats with other ladies pondering the knit pros. I love mine. I do recognise that there are some shortcomings over the needles, such as the join can be overwound. Hello. And break the thread. Yeah, that's me. Although knit pro do say that they will replace them, but I haven't done that yet. Sorry, my same. I know you sent me the link, just not done it. It's because I got it from a British site. Anyway. But I love mine. I bought a shawl pin when my mum saw it when we got back to the hotel. She fell in love with it. I was not yet in love with it, so I said, right, you have it for Mother's Day. I am now shawl pinless again. But my mum suits it, and it suits her orange-ish bullet very well. I also got to look at the Quilters exhibition, the Needlework Guild exhibition, the Embroiderers exhibition, the Lace Guild exhibition, the Downton Abbey Dresses exhibition. There was a fashion show on from the local college, and loads of other things going on too. I then came out of the hall without buying any yarn. Get me. I was shaking. I sent Mum into the Hobbycraft Hall, and I decided I had 5 minutes, maybe 10 at the most, to whiz around, get my coat, get to the taxi. I wanted a Scottish-themed rubber stamp, which I found at the first stand, and then I got some embossing powder and a Stazon ink pad and some double-sided tape. And then I got out in time, just. And you know, the Hobbycraft Hall really should be in the bigger hall because it was uncomfortably busy. But there was nothing of much of interest that was new to me and the next big thing, which is what I often find. Oh, there's the next big thing. We have to have that. Simply have to have it. If I go away from here today without having that, then I will be upset. It does kind of seem to be stuck in the early 2000s, whereas the Creative Stitches has evolved with the fashion show and all the different exhibitions and the slightly different crafting. And I would be happy to spend most of the day in there doing a bit of knitting, a bit of blathering. It was much more relaxed, it wasn't as busy, it was more roomy, and looking at the exhibitions properly. And it was worth going if you like craft, and especially if you live away from civilisation. Oh, hello, it's me. I went and got car collected. Mum and I went to meet Ella, whom you may call Giffnet Girl. She was encouraging my yarn buying and offered to be my Sherpa. Sherpa Ella, which was lovely because I'd been to the workshop and I bought some air drying modelling clay for the bairns and I was really heavy. I've been watching Mr. Maker too much and we don't have any of that up here that I could find. So I settled on some light brown and white speckled Surder DK with cotton blend. And this is to be my Hogwarts Express shawl that somebody gave me. You know who you are, you lovely lady. I was going to buy some more Kid Silk Haze and also some Rowan double knit 100% wool. The Kid Silk Haze is to enhance my stash, but I stood there, Ella laughed at this. Can you remember what colour I bought last year? Was it the grey or the blue? It's like really light colour. And she says, I think it was the grey. Or it might have been the blue. I'm remembering this is a year gone past. And it wasn't her that bought it, it was me. And I've made a scarf out of mine. But because I'd used a ball, I wanted another 2 balls to make 2 extra tops that I might get around to. And I stood there, I just can't remember. So I said, you know what, that means I obviously don't need it. And she looked at me, she said, okay, put it down. So we looked at the round, and this is from a Piper's Journey, which I actually still haven't purchased, but I will. And I picked up the yarn, and oh, that's nice and soft, and worked it out how much it was, and then put it down. Well done me. But then we had afternoon tea. Thank you so much to Ella. It was lovely to meet you. The bairns loved their wee chickens, thank you. And now comes something that's quite close to my heart, but from a different angle. Mum and Ella were discussing what they were knitting, and both of them knit for premature babies just now. Ella said that the Queen Mother's Hospital in Glasgow is, well, it's now closed, and it's where my Sandy was born. And they used to issue the hats to the prem babies, but they'd take them back before the baby left the hospital. I know, because I remember this, yes, signs were everywhere, give back the hats, and all clothes. And then they changed it so that all babies are given a hat to take home. I asked which hospital this was, and she said, well, thanks to Southern General, pretty much all the Glasgow hospitals. feel free, somebody, to correct me on this. Also, just feel free to send your local primary Skaboo unit in little hats, because really, it doesn't take much time. Ella said they need loads of them now, and she can knock up a hat in 2 lunch hours and a half. And 1.5 lunch hours at work. One day she was at work when a bunch of the bairns, and I say bairns, teenagers, looked in and they asked what she was knitting for them, and she said, "Oh, for the wee premature babies at the hospital." The boys started being a bit cheeky, as teenage boys do, and then the lassie, whom Ella said was the most popular girl in the college, but a wee bit of a madam too, turned to the boys and told them, "Don't be cheeky to Ella. She was one of them babies. She had been born 8 weeks premature, and had it not been for the hats, she might not have been made it. And now she's Ella's best bud. There you go. Does that not bring it home from the other side? I've received them from my bairns, albeit Sandy's were taken off them. I've knitted some, I've handed some back. But I've never heard it from a bairn who actually understands and appreciates a wee hat. A hat that takes a lunch and a half to make from oddments of yarn left over from your stash. I think she's a wise wee soul underneath the facade. So listeners, if you're a mid-preemie hat, take comfort in the fact that when the bairns grow up, they understand and they appreciate that fact." I was crying. Ella was crying. Mum was crying. Are you crying? And then it was time to say a fond farewell to Ella. Until next time, adieu. And then we said hello to Sally of Tiny Shiny Things from Lars. Well, actually I shouted, "Sally!" at her across George Square. We met her outside Brown's restaurant, which was really far too loud to have a proper conversation in, but the food was very nice and the service was good once we were seated, that is. It was heaving, quite trendy. And one of the first things Sally said, "Would you like a whiskey?" Oh dear listeners, how wrong you have got me. I don't really drink it, other than tasting it for you, you know. It's hubby that likes it. I just help him. So I had a white wine. But what lovely company Sally is. She's got these really cool glasses that Sid from CSI New York wears, and was wearing a really cool knitted top. And then Mum and Sally were talking about quilting, and she told us of the Hampden Park Quilt Project 2013, which is to highlight and raise money for Alzheimer's. And I took this from the website, www.annhillquilter.co.uk/Alzheimer's Quilt Project. Anne Hill is the Alzheimer's resident quilter, and it said, "How would you like to be part of a huge worldwide project for quilters? Anne's latest project calls for quilts to be donated to the Hampden Park Quilt Project, taking place around May 2013. Hopefully not on cup final day, that would be a bit of a problem, wouldn't it? 5,000 quilts of 40-inch square, or close, are needed to cover Scotland's international football pitch at Hampden Park in Glasgow. Aerial photographs will be taken and sold. The quilts will be auctioned off and those left will be adopted by care homes throughout Scotland. The aim of the project is to raise awareness for dementia and how it affects not only the person affected but their family and friends. Any design of quilt will do, but if you're having trouble deciding, then a free downloadable quilt, they have links to patterns that you can do. If you or anyone you know, i.e. Keith as quilters, would wish to get involved, then you should send her an email and check out the web address, which of course is in the show notes. The thought of Hampden Park being covered in quilts quite tickled me, and well, that's not because I had 2 glasses of Pinot Grigio in me at the time. But thank you, Sally, for your lovely company and highlighting a wonderful project. So we've got knit preemie hats and send to your local hospital, and then we've got make quilts. And that was all in one afternoon, so it was really good. It was a really lovely afternoon and weekend. My car was fine, by the way. The Iron Giant's head managed to miss anything important underneath. But if you have a Honda Civic, your air conditioning condenses on the engine covers at the bottom of your car, which looks then like your car is leaking. It's not. It's just the condensation. Yeah, surface dudes. Tell that to us when we buy the car, not when we're falling in a mad panic. Now, Ella was telling all about the Glasgow School of Yarn she attended in October last year. We remember Shutter Monkey, who won the prize for the Glasgow Rose hat. Well, Ella was saying that she thinks it's on again this year. I had a look for dates and more information, but none is up as yet. This was from when she goes alone to the knit club. So when I know, you will know. I'd love to go down and attend some of the classes. It would be like stitches or socks, I might, but done Glasgow style. Competition winner. I'm very pleased to let Daisy announce that.
Okay, Papa.
Well done. 1. The beautiful Aletta Allegra Shaw. Okay, I know you can't understand it. Fuzzy Nana. Well done, Fuzzy Nana. And she won the beautiful Aletta Allegra shawl patterns and project bag from Ruth Crafts and the yarn from Artists Palettes Yarn. Congratulations! I'll be sending you a message, Teresa, to let you know, and Ruth Crafts will put the pattern into your Ravelry library, but you'll have to wait for the yarn to arrive. And then we'll start the Aletta Allegra shawl knit along on the 1st of April 2012. Actually, I'm just thinking I'll put up a wee prize of something I haven't quite decided yet. If you've been at both of them. There's a bit of a challenge that most of you can manage in 2 days. This is a do if you would like to do it. Not because I said to do it, but go on, buy the shawl anyway. And it's fun, lovely people. I will put a thread onto the Ravelry group so you can monitor progress like we did for the Damson. Which leads me on to Damson Knit Along again. Lots more of you have finished. And, wow. Daisy Frog, the bit of the orange at the end, just accented it beautifully. She said she ran out, but I think she did this on purpose. She had a brown variegated with flakes of orange yarn. Can't remember what it is.
No.
And she said she ran out of yarn, which I don't think is very unusual in this pattern. And she highlighted it with some turquoise Chewbacca kind of colour. He is the theme tonight. The last couple of rows. And I just think it makes it pop. I think that's the word everybody uses. Poppity pop. So it's wonderful. And also, I think it was Trekkie. Who was it that came in and said, oh, am I too late? And then did it within the weekend. Yeah, well done. I'd still like to see a photograph though. Well, there are others that have given up or put away. I was nearly one of them. And do you know, if it was me that was organising this, yes, I would have. But... And by the way, the crackling is the fire you can hear in the background. I got Mum to recount everything. I had a bit of paper. I tried to work out what to do. I couldn't figure it out, so I went away for a whole week. I never knit it at all. Then one day I sat and I got to row 73 with the correct number of stitches. Hooray! Shout from the rooftops. Not in the right place, but the right number. I also got a bit confused by the purl row, trying to add in a yarn over and then read the pattern. No yarn over in that row. And I know it's not going to be perfect, but I'm going to get it done. And I actually ripped back 3 or 4 lines today, and I was quite impressed with my husband because he said, oh, that cannot be very good to do. Do you know, is it possible to put a line in it through? And I said, oh yeah, they're called lifelines. He says, oh, why didn't you? And I says, well, I actually knew where I was going to get back to, and yeah, it was the purl row, row 73. I think I might rename my shawl, Row 73. Anyway, I've decided that I will tell you when mine is done, and anybody else's, of course, I will highlight it. But I rather feel that the damson is donezen, and we've elonged it as much as we can. I'm going to go with this one. So thank you, damson. You've been entertaining. Learning curve. You're very pretty when you're finished, I have to say. And I will finish you. But I will not bore the listeners with the update every month till maybe December 2014 before I do. On to fabric postcards. The fabric postcards do seem to be posted and received, and the photos are coming up lovely. It's nice to receive something artistic in the post. So we'll carry on with that, and if you still want to do another one, I think we'll let everybody receive this one and then we'll restart it, say, in the summertime, if that's fair. On to the Me Show.
I buy books, I never read, and then I tell you some more about me.
As I said, I lost my knitting mojo again. And it was because of the damson. I had no enthusiasm for it. And I wanted to cast on the Aletta shawl again, but I needed concentration, for which I had none. And then one day this week, I counted again, ripped back 2 rows, and I'm now getting on with it. I'm going to actually tell you when it's done. I'm not going to tell you any more about it. I have finished, shouted from rooftops, my colour wheel quilt. I even have it on the wall. I have photos of it for Flickr. I'm very pleased with it. Things I could have done better. Nothing, it's wonderful. Absolutely perfect. No, I did learn something, that you should put your wadding bigger than the front of your quilt. That was the one thing I can remember learning. All the rest of it, yeah, yeah. I know I'm not the greatest, but I quite enjoyed this and it looks pretty cool. What else did I do? Washed a bit more fleece over and above the Jacob that I was talking about. I put together some parcels. I also have the bookmarks that I promised you all addressed up, but I'm awaiting payday before going to the post office. March the 31st is the last day for if you would like a bookmark made by me. Please send me a message any way you can, and I will send you one back if you put your postal address in. The collective. Now, we had a Vimto craft night, and it's a craft night where we drink tea instead of Vimto this time. The lovely Rachel hosted it, and I have audio, so here you go. Hello, we're at craft night at Rachel's house, and we have a special guest of Fiona. Say hello.
Hello.
Fiona is from Canada's Bay, but she is now in
Ottawa, Canada.
And she's home visiting her dad because
he turned 80 on Saturday.
Yay! Happy birthday, Fiona's dad. And she is knitting
her dad a pair of socks.
Oh, it's nice.
I started a pair of socks for myself, and he said, oh, somebody used to knit me a pair of socks, and now I miss those days. No, I wish somebody would knit a pair of socks for me, so I've never actually had a pair of socks. All my socks go to him.
Oh, that's nice.
Are you going to get them finished before you head home?
No. That was the plan, but no, I'll be taking them home with me again.
Can you knit on the plane?
I crocheted on the plane because I was terrified somebody would take my socks away from me. Mm-hmm. Release the needles.
Yeah, and nice shiny needles as well. Like them.
Cheap shiny needles.
Tell me about your damson.
I finished my damson and I've been wearing it, and I've been wearing it as a shawl, and I've been wearing it as a neckerchief thing. And it's been very cosy.
What do you think of the pattern?
I would probably do it again.
Would you?
Yeah, I did the... I liked the first part. It was mindless because I didn't care if my spines were straight. So it took a lot of the stress out.
Oh, fair enough.
And the next part was... I used the modified one.
Ah, yes, yes.
And I liked it.
Cool. Well, it's pretty, very pretty. And it's not what I expected it to look like for some reason. I thought it would be not as soft and drapey looking. I don't know why, I just thought it was a lot harder. Maybe it's the different wool I'm using.
Oh, I blocked the...
Right, and we have Sarah.
Hello.
Yeah, remember her.
What do you mean, remember me?
It's
not that long since I've been here, drinking whiskey.
Well, that's true, now that you've listened.
I'll catch up.
So what have you been doing tonight?
I've been trying to use up freebies from Crafts Beautiful magazine that I never get around to using. So I've been cutting out and sticking on card and cutting out again, which was silly. Should have just stuck on card and cut out.
Oh, well, God, you kept you at mischief, didn't it?
It didn't. Yes.
Yeah, and there's nothing better than cutting and sticking.
Exactly. They have a bit of a sore finger now, those scissors. Not good.
Rachel.
Hello.
What have you been up to tonight?
I have been knitting a shawl out of all my bits and pieces of hand-spun wool.
Is it a pattern?
It originally is a pattern from... It's a Rowan pattern called Bresse Hapshawl, but I've kind of adapted it somewhat.
Uh-huh. Cool. It's lovely. She's using up all her bits of hand-spun that she's not used. What else are you wearing?
Oh, I'm wearing my elf jumper that I finished yesterday.
And who tweeted you today?
Kate Davis.
Wow.
I was very excited and a bit starstruck.
So was I. Very impressive. Hi Caroline, what have you been knitting tonight?
I've been knitting some big, thick socks from handspun to fit into my huge wellies because I can't buy them small enough for my feet.
And what handspun is this?
It's brown Jacob wool.
Ooh, lovely.
And I had to think because I've got such a stash.
She does. She won't give it to us. We've tried. Right. Thank you for a very much lovely evening, Rachel. It's been a very big pleasure to have Fiona here and John in the background. He's putting his thumbs up. They can't hear thumbs.
Oh.
Yay. So thank you once again.
Thank you to Rachel for letting me use her iPhone and hosting us. May you continue to improve health-wise, and it was lovely to catch up with Gary. Hi, Gary. And the dog was hilarious. Also to the lovely Fiona, whom you may call Finarda,
It was wonderful to meet you. Thank you for your good company and also yarn. No need. Every need. It's just my colours, which I'm really impressed because she said, yes, I know. So, that was really nice. I can't quite decide what to do with it yet. That was me. Now onto the drams, where we have my husband, and it's a 12-year-old single malt Glenfiddich. And it's about 23 minutes long. It starts off okay, but it got funnier and funnier, so I've left it in. But there's nothing after this, so if the dram's not your thing, thanks for listening. Speak to you next episode. And if it is, here you go.
We're drumming, we're drumming, we're drumming, we're drumming, we're drumming, we're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
This episode we're talking about the Glenfiddich. It's a 12-year-old single malt Scotch whisky which is bottled and mature in the Valley of the Deer since 1887. Now, the case, we have a case for this one. It is a triangular shaped tube, nice cardboard. And it's a bonny, bonny green, quite dark green, and it's got the deer as their emblem and a bonny coat of arms, which is stand fast. It's not things you really look at until you're actually looking at them. Mm-hmm. And it says it's their signature malt. Okay, I'll explain their history. In 1886, William Grant fulfilled a lifelong ambition by building his own distillery. He named it Glenfiddich, which is Gaelic for Valley of the Deer. And on Christmas Day 1887, the first drop flowed from the stills.
It was a fine year.
Today, it's still owned by William Grant's family, and Glenfiddich is the world's leading single malt.
Controversially.
Well, controversially this year, certainly, because Pulteney is.
And Highland Park was last year.
Mm. But I think maybe what they're trying to allude to is it is the world's most awarded single malt Scotch whisky.
I think it's one of the signature malts.
Which is, what does that mean?
I think that of the distinct geographical flavours and locations have a number of signature malts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of them. But
oh.
I need to do some research on this.
Mm-hmm. I nearly bought a book on it this weekend. And there's a whisky shop at the bottom of the escalators in Buchanan Galleries. But I was guided away.
Good. You can't drink a book.
No.
You can read a book.
No, it had rows and rows of peaty little miniatures. Oh, that's the dog again. Hello, dog. You've come to
sit by the fire because it's so cold. And that's what you can hear crackling in the background because we're huddled round the fire.
You'd never think it was March. Right, so the bottle itself is a bonny green colour.
Very green, so I'm intrigued to know what the actual colour of the whisky be. I think it's going to be quite a light.
Well, we'll find out when
we open it.
Well,
when we open it, yes.
It's,
very good, yeah.
It's a straight bottle, but on its sides, triangular shape to it. So we shall open it. I'm ready for the cork. Oh, it's got a kind of like Christmassy cake smell to that.
Yeah. Oh, aye. That's like fruit.
And
that's
do you know why? Because it has matured in the finest Olo Rosso sherry and bourbon casks.
Ah, sherry.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like currants and raisins and stuff and fruit.
Yeah. That's just from the cork. We must be getting better at this. Would you like to pour, dear?
Oh, thank you.
Right, colour.
The colour-wise, well, I think it is quite light. Certainly looks quite light. Give it a wee swirl round. It's leaving a wee bit down the sides, yeah.
It's falling down the grass, but pretty quickly.
I know. It would be too easy to call it honey, I would say.
Would you say that was a honey kind of...
I would say it was more like Winnie the Pooh's forearms.
I would agree with you. Winnie the Pooh's forearms.
Yeah. We've decided to go for abstract descriptions of colours.
Yeah, we've finally come up with some different colours.
Because everything's either... golden, tea, orange or honey. So we've got our own names now.
So for honey, think Winnie the Pooh's forearms.
The fur, that is.
Yeah. For orange, we're going to think up Chewbacca. For tea coloured, we're thinking up Monkey Puddle Water.
Do people know what Chewbacca is?
If you don't know, go and look it up.
You better explain.
Chewbacca! And for golden light, it's going to be Barbie's hair. So it'll give you a little bit more of an easier way of accessing the colours.
If you understand who Chewbacca is.
Who's Chewbacca?
He's the bear thing in Star Wars.
which is a film. Right, what do we do now?
Are we give it a good, well, we swirled it, we've looked at it, now we smell it. And it's not as, not this, the sort of flavour's gone off a bit since the court, but certainly the sherry and the fruity kind of smell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's supposed to be water in it, I've just tasted it. Oops.
Just do what you want.
Whoa. Oh, it needs water in.
You got a lot of water.
Lot of water.
Like that?
Yeah.
I think more fell on the table than went in.
Not only could you spit more into the glass, you could sneeze more into that glass.
Uh-huh. Enough. I'm drinking.
Right.
Couldn't be off my drink.
Hardly. Slange.
Slange it up. Like that.
Oh, it's better with water in it.
I like that.
Do you?
I do.
Could you explain about why, like...
I always found the Speyside ones in particular quite sharp. And not... They're too alcoholic. It sounds a bit of a bizarre thing, but they were too...
harsh.
Harsh. It was too sharp and harsh and too alcoholic tasting.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the peaty ones and the smoky ones were distinctively smoky or peaty or a combination of the both. These were just alcohol. It's sort of thing you'd run your car on, really.
This is, to me, what I would have a hot toddy of.
This actually, I think, maybe either my taste buds have changed, or they've changed the flavour of this stuff, because this is actually really nice.
I know, but I remember I was thinking about that about Lafroig a couple of weeks ago.
Although in the second sip, it's kind of tasting a bit like it used to remind me. Maybe in a different life I had a bad night in Glenfiddich and Speyside Malts.
Maybe.
It's quite nice. But it's the second sip. I'm seeing what the third sip goes like.
Go on.
That's fine. And the smell, it's got a lovely odour to it.
It does have a really nice smell to it.
It is kind of like reminiscent of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Bizarrely.
Mm-hmm. Like Christmas cake.
Maybe Santa likes it. Or the elves.
Or Mrs. Claus. I think maybe she's been driven to drink.
What, having your man round the house 364 days of the year? I can imagine what you'd be like.
Now, this is the Glenfiddich Distillery, which is Dufftown, Banffshire. Which is that part of the Speyside?
I think so.
And they are predominantly barley. Am I right in thinking that? What they're made from?
We need to consult, I think, on this one.
Oh, right, okay. Well, the actual tasty notes, it says... Our signature malt has smooth, elegant notes of fresh pear and subtle oak.
I'm getting neither of those. I'm getting sherry and I'm getting fruit, but I'm getting more kind of raisins and currants. Tell you what, you know, it'd be a good idea for the next one.
What?
Would be taste it and comment on it and then read the tasting notes. So we see how our opinions vary from the box.
Oh, so in other words, if I say to you, don't think of elephants, you're going to...
Think
of elephants as the usual one.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But I'm not getting pear or oak, and I'm getting sherry, and I'm getting raisins and currants.
Right, I'm going to see if I can find some pears in this. Maybe the colour of pear. It actually reminds me of the colour of Robin Ulrich's Bosque hat, which is a knitting reference. Now that I'm thinking of pink elephants, because you are too...
It's got a lovely fruit.
You have to hold it at the back of your mouth, on your tongue, and then breathe the air over it.
Because I'm a non-conformist, I'm thinking melons different.
I'm actually getting pear drops because, you remember the acetone when you used to have to do that?
Yeah.
I'm getting that at the back of my throat.
You're right.
Because you're right. I've read it, I think.
But I still don't get pear, as in if I had a pear yesterday or the other day. In fact, I made pear and apple crumble for when you came home on Sunday night.
Yes, it was lovely.
And it doesn't remind me of those pears.
No, it must be a different type of pear. There's a whole pile of whiskey distilleries down there. Now, we've not really touched on them. This is the first Speyside or that area malt that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
Purely because of taste, we didn't think we liked them.
Well, I've had them before at Glenromach.
Not in the tasting.
Not in the tasting, no.
So this is a whole new area.
I'm enjoying that. It is, the more taste I have, the more it reminds me of why I didn't kind of go for them. I don't normally go for that because I prefer a sort of distinct flavouring or style to character. Whereas this, our Speyside ones, I've always found to be too alcoholy, kind of harsh. and not having that distinct flavour.
But for you listeners, I think we might make the sacrifice.
It'll be a chore, but I will persevere.
Yeah. Actually, I was trying to think of something interesting to tell you about where it came from, because I was very conscious that I meant to do that about Isla and I meant to do that about Jura, and I didn't really, except to say that I had visited Isla and I hadn't visited Jura.
You've seen Jura.
I've seen it. So
I cannot...
Have you got anything interesting to tell us about Dufftown and Banffshire?
Not specifically, but I'm going there in a week and a bit.
So you are. That could be...
Well, it's Huntley, which is just past... It's just gone past that way.
Now that's your mission. But we met Fergus Ewan, who's the Minister for Energy, so it was to do with giving us our DNV certification and getting a nice, pretty picture. So he was very pleased that small business is doing well in this area. But also, he's the Minister for Tourism. And he mentioned the Jura Distillery specifically. And I was behind him going, I just talked about that. So I went over and talked to his press secretary, who's the Scottish Government press secretary, and asked if she could give us some more information of things coming up, because all of you listeners who might come over here either this year or next year, actually Kelpat is coming over very soon in June, and I'm very much looking forward to meeting her, and they are doing the distillery tour of Scotland.
Oh.
So Kelpat, get in touch again and tell us how your itinerary is getting on. Kelpat is not going to the Old Pulteney Distillery, she's come to see us.
Well, why don't we all go to the Old Pulteney Distillery?
Well, maybe she might know it. Well, we'll see. What do you think, Kelpat?
Oh, I think it'd be a shame. It'd be a crime not to go to Old Pulteney. Although it's just a small one, you could do it in about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, I've been round it.
The Minister was on his way to go round Old Pulteney Distillery. Mm. And that snoring you can hear is the dog.
No, it's not me. This time. I have a plan.
A plan?
A cunning plan.
A plan so cunning it would fool the wiliest of foxes?
Indeed.
Ooh, tell me about this plan.
Well, because the Glenfiddich is of a certain type of malt whisky, and the Jura is of a different type of whisky,
mm-hmm.
I think we should maybe just get a little Jura just to compare the two. The okay. colour, the smell, the taste, and obviously starting with the...
I love the squeak of that.
That Jura, that's the best cork ever.
I think I might edit that squeak out and keep it as the starting point of the glass. And then you'll all know.
Even put it in, it just squeaks fine.
Right.
A little drop of water. Well, colour first.
The colour, right. On our new tasting notes, obviously.
This is going back in time, because we did this a couple of weeks back.
Yeah. But maybe we should keep a Glenfiddich to do this for the next one.
Yes, that'd be a good rolling.
Ooh, and, listeners, you like that idea.
And also, it stops us drinking too much whiskey.
Correct.
Okay, well, it stops me drinking too much whiskey.
Correct.
Even though they're just wee PD bottles.
Right. So the colour of the... Glenfiddich, we had agreed, was Winnie the Pooh's Forearms.
Yes.
It's honey to you and me. I might actually write this up on the show notes.
I think you should, because people who don't understand who...
Winnie the Pooh is.
Or that hairy thing from Star Wars.
Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Right. What colour would you say that the Jura was? What did we agree last time?
I can't remember. But certainly it's kind of more tea-coloured, I would say.
That's not tea-colour, that's... orangey colour.
Do you think that's... No, looking at that, you don't think that's decoloured? It's quite orangey, isn't it? I mean, it's
to me, that's orangey.
Well, I would say...
Did we not agree it was a bonny, bonny, bronzy colour?
It's very bronzy.
In the bottle, that's Chewbacca colour.
Definitely, it's Chewbacca rolling about a manky puddle.
I would agree with that.
But I would say it's more Chewbacca when you're sort of maybe drying off a little bit, having rolled about in a manky puddle. Okay, smell.
Right,
so... That's a Glenfiddich. It smells of... I'm not getting pears other than pear drops when I taste it, but I am getting sherry and I am getting raisins and currants. And
Christmas cake.
And the Jura. Honey. Just get honey smell with that.
Oh no, I got black marker pen. Remember them black marker pens you used to get when you were younger? You took the tip off them just to smell them. It must be the acetone. I got that one. You passed it over.
I never took the tops off of black marker pens and sniffed them.
I used
I bet you sniffed Tippex, never.
Oh no, I didn't like Tippex. It was just the black marker paint. Right, so he's added the water.
A little drop of water, so I'll taste the one for it first. And again, I get fruit, I don't get pear, but I do get pear drops. And then we'll test the Cheshire cheese. And now we'll test the tuna.
Actually, somebody did request that we had a few drams and then did the tasting, because they thought it would be quite entertaining for them to hear us half cut. Right, come on, Mr. Hunt, explain.
You know, I'm getting a slightly, because I put a bit more water in this one, because I don't want to get too strong.
Well, not on a school night.
Not on a school night. But I reckon if you got some driftwood that had been washed up on the beach, marinated in seaweed, chewed it up, and it was made, the driftwood was oak, that's what it would taste like.
I like that description. I don't necessarily know if it's going to be like that, but I do like that description.
You made tea out of it or something. It's a totally different flavour, having tasted the Glenfiddich first.
The test is, would you buy the Glenfiddich again?
I would buy the Glenfiddich again, yes.
Obviously you would buy the Jura again.
I like the Jura, but the Jura is
a one dram a night,
or one dram in a sitting. I wouldn't want more than one. So I think it'd be a waste having more than one.
And would the Glenfiddich, would you have more than one a night?
Yes, I would. Because it's quite a much more subtle taste to it.
Okay.
Or strength or flavour, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I'll say strength.
Strength wise, they're
alcohol,
both 40%.
They're both
anyway.
The same, but strength or flavour, slightly different.
Much more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
The Jura, right. I think one dram of that and it's enough, because any more would just be wasting it. You'd be being greedy and you wouldn't appreciate the flavour. Whereas the Glenfiddich, you could sit and just mull away and have
a good chat.
Maybe on a Friday night, whoever your listener is that wants us to have a few drams before we do the tasting.
I can't remember.
I love you. but, so we've got a dram each, you've got a Jura and I've got a Glenfiddich. Get a taste of that, I'll swap over. You tell me what you think. Your face is not giving away much there.
Other than I'm chewing a wasp and I'm a bulldog.
That's a lovely, lovely image and vision I've got here. Have you ever heard the phrase, a bulldog chewing a wasp?
That was me.
Or a face fed by catapult.
Oh, excuse me, I'm not hit the ugly tree and the branches all the way down.
You take your arse sip of that dram there.
Right, give it. This is the Glenfiddich I'm drinking. There's a fair dollop of water in this. Now, there wasn't an awful lot of the water in this.
No,
Jura.
It was a good 50-50.
And it's quite easy for me to drink.
The Glenfiddich?
Mm-hmm.
Aye.
And the Jura is going up my nose.
You're not supposed to drink it through your nose.
I've got straws, especially
you have
from
a mouth.
I am from Wick. We had to get it in with any which way we can. Eyeballs included.
Oh dear. I bet that's been tried. Probably in Wick.
Really like it. That's from Kevin and Perry. Eyeball Paul, I think he's called. He's a DJ. Tonight, do you know what? I'm actually going to go for the Glenfiddich as opposed to the Jura, but I think that's because I've been drinking the Glenfiddich first.
And you're from the East Coast, and you've never stood, allegedly.
No,
on
I
Jura.
Prefer the smoky and the peaty ones, but the Jura is not the peaty one, is it? It's a. Because I got that wrong last time, and I remember.
No, this is the unpeated.
Unpeated. I prefer a peated one. But between these two tonight, at this present moment in time, remember everybody? I'm fickle. I am going to go for the Glenfiddich.
I am converted, because I thought I was not going to like that Glenfiddich at all. That's why I kind of went for the small bottle too.
It's a better price as well, isn't it?
£13.
For half a bottle.
Well, I think you buy a full bottle, it's going to cost you at least, well, you know, twice £13 is £26. And there's no way you could get a full bottle for £26.
Of Jura, but that's a 16-year-old.
No, I'm on about the Glenfiddich.
Oh.
That cost me £13.
Right.
For the, which is in effect a third of a bottle.
Oh. Well, that was my next question was, the more it is made, is it cheaper?
Well,
or is it supply and demand?
It's economies of scale, isn't it? The more you make it, the cheaper it'll be to make it.
That's what I was wondering.
But what puts the price up is, without a doubt, duty.
Aye.
I mean, it costs enough anyway, but duty has just been mental of late on alcohol and petrol and fuel and other stuff.
Which I suppose is why you just drink it
every now and again. Except us, who are doing it every 2 weeks for you. Aren't we? Good to you, listeners. Right, so my choice tonight, I think, of the two of them, is going to be the Glenfiddich. What's yours?
If I was coming in from a hard day's work and I just...
No. Tonight.
Oh, tonight. Just now. I would say Glenfiddich, purely because it's been quite easy to drink and I've been quite enjoyed it. And I had the duna on the back of having the Glenfiddich.
Mm-hmm.
But
if it had been the other way
as
round,
as I said,
yeah.
No, if the duna, if I'd had the duna first, I wouldn't have wanted the Glenfiddich.
No, I think I would have seen you.
But if I'd come in on the back, hard day's work, I'd probably just go for a single wee duna, and that'd be it.
Aye.
End of. Whereas if it was a Friday night and I didn't have to worry about getting up the next day, I could quite happily have couple of beers and a couple of Glenfiddichs and be just quite happy and just go to my bed and snore it off.
Now there's a question. If you're in the pub and you're in a sociable pub and you're having a good blather with somebody you know,
mm-hmm.
What would be your dram of choice?
Grouse.
Would it?
Always in the pub.
This is adding to it. Doesn't matter what it costs us. If you have a choice of any type of dram, would it always be grouse anyway?
Grouse, or if I was feeling really extravagant, maybe Highland Park.
Mm. I saw a leaflet and then I saw the sign for the famous grouse experience. It's a factory.
Is that right?
Tour, yeah. I must go and dig it out upstairs.
I have had the famous grouse experience. But in very, very different ways. Anyway.
Right, have we got anything else to say on that? I'd like a little bit of feedback if you agree with our idea of tasting the previous one and having a comparison taste
with the current one.
Yeah.
And commenting on the flavour and the smell and the taste and everything.
Because a lot of
before we read the notes, because I think I end up quoting what they say in the box, and it's not how it should be. It should be our own opinion.
Uh-huh. Also, a lot of you listeners are drinking the same dram as us because we are talking about and want to see. Yeah, they are.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's cool. Can we do beers as well?
No, we're doing whiskey first, then we're doing gin.
Are we doing gin?
Eventually,
without being too specific, but could we do Spanish Rioja wines?
I don't like red wine.
I do.
Eventually, listeners, eventually. Mm-hmm. But it's Scottish. It's a whole point.
Spain's just a... Are the lobsters go to Spain?
I just gave the microphone a look. It's a shame you can't see this, listeners, but you can imagine.
I'm still smarting.
I can't even remember what I was going to say. So, yes, the listeners are drinking along with us. They are also... Well, what I'd like you to do is say what you thought, even with our tasting notes, with the bottle's tasting notes.
What you could do is have a compile a list of comments
mm-hmm.
about what the listeners think,
and then
could revisit
the
previous one
and then
compare it with the new one.
Well, that Jura is completely different.
It is different.
Yeah.
Can you not just taste and smell a deer on the foreshore, eat the seaweed?
I think it helps the fact I've seen Jura. And the Housing Association had houses on there, so we dealt with it quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. I find it ironic that Glenfiddich is the...
Hill of the Deer, yeah.
And yet Jura has got about 50 deer per...
Person
on Jura.
However...
Allegedly.
Oh, one thing we would like to point out. Richard thought last episode when I was editing it up, he says, oh, it sounded like I was cadging for drink. We'd like to point out, no, we're not. We're paying for this ourselves. So don't think that we are.
No.
We're not freeloading. Is that the right word?
We drink our own way in this world.
We do indeed. So here's to drinking our own way in this world.
Slán jivá,
everybody. Good health to you all.
The blah, 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 session.
Blah, 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 blah. That's me. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you are all in good health or fatal. You can download me from Podbean, iTunes, reviews gratefully welcome and received. Please do carry on with reviews and comments. You can email me on keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com, which I will reply. You can get me on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt, which I will reply. You can join the Keithness Craft Collective group in there, where I'll generally stalk you. And I go into Seamed Up and Stitching Fingers for a look, but don't really talk much. I'm on Twitter, where I never shut up, as Caithness Craft. Music is Afakoff playing jigs, The Road to Bam, Maureen's Jig, and Jig Runrig from musicalley.com, where you can go and buy it. And thanks for listening, and keep on crafting, my friend.